The revival that the Holy Spirit is pouring out in this day and age is not falling on a man of God or a woman of God. It's on the people of God. It's been prophesied that there would be a nameless and faceless revival, that there would be a revival that sweeps across Australia and the nations of the world, and it wouldn't be pinpointed to a man, it wouldn't be pinpointed to a church, it wouldn't be the Mackay Christian Family revival, it wouldn't be the North Queensland revival, it would be Holy Spirit pouring out His presence, pouring out His love, bringing salvation and freedom to people, but it wouldn't be attached to a brand. Amen? So I want to encourage you, God is moving in our nation. It is good. Something I learned, and I was talking actually to Pastor Kemi last week on the phone, and he was asking about Extreme. And by the way, I'm going to talk about growing in friendship with God this morning. It's on the screen. And he was asking, like, what do you think was happening in the room? What do you think was happening? I said, well, I just felt like in this season, we've relinquished striving. We've let go of striving. We've come back to simplicity. What is simplicity? Well, it's trusting that, Lord, we don't need to try and make you do something. We will come before you and worship you. We will wait on your presence. And when you move, we will let you move and we won't try and control it. And I'm hearing the same sort of thing everywhere. And I'm hearing that even in people's personal lives. I'm hearing of husbands and wives that are staying up at night and they're waiting on the Lord. They're worshiping, they're praying together. And the Holy Spirit comes and moves. And they don't try and control it. They don't try and cut it off, but they enjoy His presence. And I said to Pastor Kemi, I feel like we're coming back to simplicity. And when we surrender our simplicity and let God be God, He can make our simplicity supernatural. He can take the simple things and make it supernatural. He can take our songs and actually ignite it with the flame of His presence. He can take our preaching, our simple sermons that are just all about Jesus, and He can ignite it with fire. He can take your simple response to lift your hands in worship and do a healing power and a healing work in your life. When we choose to surrender our simple and stop striving to try and make God do something or twist His arm to get what we want, and we actually just say, Lord, I surrender, I've come to serve you. He ignites it with His supernatural touch. And He moves. Amen? Amen. Man, I'm so excited about what God's doing. I encourage you to lean in. Also, I want to congratulate and say a big welcome to a newly married couple, Mitchell and Karina. Welcome to the church this morning. So good to see you guys. And congratulations on your wedding last Saturday. And I've heard great things. And you guys are beautiful people. We love you so much. And congratulations. Awesome. All right, well, this morning I do want to talk about becoming a friend of God. And when I think about this topic, this is something that I keep coming back to. I've looked at the last few sermons I've preached over this year, and it's like, it's talking about friendship with God, friendship with the Holy Spirit, understanding a relationship with Him, growing in relationship with Him, growing in the gospel. It's coming back to this theme, and this theme is just so on my heart that the Lord isn't looking for slaves, He's looking for friends. Jesus didn't recruit slaves to follow Him, He recruited friends. Amen? Amen? He's looking for friendship. He's not looking for slaves, He's looking for friends. He's looking for people that He can partner with and release into ministry. He's looking for people that He can partner with and release His love and His power across the earth. And He is looking for friends. And when I look throughout the Bible of times where people, men and women of God, had friendship with God, they had this relationship where they would talk to Him and there would be conversation and there'd be there'd be movement. They would actually move God's heart and do something within His heart. Like, I still find that incredible that we have the capacity to move the heart of God. Just like I have the capacity to move the heart of my earthly father, we have the capacity to move the heart of our heavenly father. I know that I can, if I want some love and attention from my earthly father, all I have to say is, Dad, sit down. I'm cooking a barbecue for dinner tonight. Once we finished eating, put your feet up. I'm going to massage your feet while you watch your favorite movie. And I know I've moved His heart. And in the same way, we can move the heart of the Father. He loves you so much. but his heart can be shifted. His heart can receive joy. He can receive affection and attention that's turned over to you when we move his heart. And so he's looking for a friendship like that. And there are people in the Bible that have done that. There's people in the Bible where we hear stories of them moving the heart of God. And one of my favorite ones is David. And many of us know the stories of King David. You know, he was a shepherd boy. He looked after sheep, and then later on he slayed Goliath, and then later on he became a great warrior and a mighty warrior, and then he became a king. He was anointed as king, and as king he continued to slay giants. He continued to tear down idols that were where people were sacrificing children unto idols and things and idol worship that was spreading throughout the land. He removed the works of evil and created a community where people could flourish in health and life in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. And David was a great man of God who, the Bible says about him that he was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect. He sinned. He had flaws. But he was a man after God's own heart. And I love the stories of David. I love learning from his life. And a few things that I see in David's life is there's actually one specific thing that really stands out to me in David's life. And I believe it was the secret. It was the key to his success. The key to his success. Anyone know what the key to David's success was? What do you think it is? It's the key to David's success. Someone said God. That's a good start. You can't be wrong. Whenever you say God or Jesus, you're the right answer. Anything specific? What do you think the key to his success was? Relationships, yeah. Hey, praise. I believe the key to David's success was praise. Was praise. You know what? When David was faced with a problem, we read throughout the Psalms, we read throughout 1 and 2 Samuel, we read the stories of David's life, and when he was faced with a problem, he wouldn't go and gossip. He wouldn't go and complain and be like, woe is me. He would come before the presence of God and he would give praise before the breakthroughs come. He would give praise before the miracles happen. He would come before the presence of God. He wouldn't go and gossip and share about how fearful he is to his servants or his stewards. He would come before the presence of God in the temple and say, God, armies surround me, but I know that you surround me. And that's what I care about. That's what I'm choosing to focus on. He chose to magnify God instead of magnifying his problems. He chose to bring praise even in a struggle. You know, even when David had sinned, there's that story of him with Bathsheba, and the prophet begins to reveal to him that, you know, you've sinned before the Lord. The Lord has seen your sin. And David's response was not running away from God and trying to fix it in his own, although he did originally try and fix it in his own strength. But he came before the Lord and repented. There came a moment where he had realized he had sinned before the Lord, and he came into repentance and he praised God. He praised God. The key to David's victories, before they would go out to battle, they would praise God. And after they'd finished battle, they would praise God. Didn't always look like songs, but many times it was songs. Many times it was sacrifices. Many times it was offerings. Many times it was God, we give you this offering. I don't want to take it for myself. I give it to you. He praised God. David was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. The key to his success was prayer. He would come into the presence of God and pray. And I love this term. I've been thinking about it for a while now. And when we're faced with issues or obstacles in life, good or bad, it's important we don't just process them with friends. We process them in his presence. And David would do that. He would come to prayer and process things in the presence of God. He was a man after God's own heart. Before victories and after victories, he would praise. I've been trying to practice that in my life. I wonder how you could practice that in your life. I've been trying to do that in my life. You know, this week, I was really blessed by someone. Some friends blessed me. And at the moment that they had blessed me and given a gift to me, out of the blue, I stopped what I was doing. I turned off my phone, I grabbed my guitar, and I chose to praise God. Why? because I'd never want to get to a place where I think that the blessing is because of something I've done. Or the blessing is because of my hard work and I've deserved this blessing. I served God so hard over Extreme Conference and that's why I deserve this blessing. I want to get into the habit of praising God before victories and after them. Praising God before battles and after them. Because what we're doing when we're doing that is we're changing our focus on what we magnify. When we choose to focus in on the glory of God, the might of God, the power of God before a battle, that is what we're magnifying in our life. Then when we go into battle, we feel 10 feet taller because we know that the God of heaven's armies is on our side. That when we go into work and we have those uncomfortable conversations or those tough conversations with people that we didn't want to have, because we praise God before we went in there, we know that the God of heaven's armies is on our side. And then afterwards, don't just carry on like it's all over and I've done the work now and it's all good and I did that, I had a great conversation. No, come back to the presence of God and praise Him. Praise Him. After youth every night, when we have youth at the tribe on Friday nights, we'll be starting back next week, by the way. When we have youth on Friday nights, we worship God. Holy Spirit moves. Young people receive salvation. They receive the touch of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the night, we don't just go, awesome, shake hands, that was so good, let's just head off now. We don't just walk out. We come together as a team and we go, guys, let's celebrate what God did tonight. We hear stories of testimonies, we celebrate what God did, and then we choose to stop and pray and give thanks because it's not by our strength, it's by the Spirit that He moves, that He pours out. We see healings happen often, and it would be a shame for us to walk out of that building with all of this glory and accolades and feeling puffed up that, wow, we saw God heal people tonight. We saw miracles happen tonight. Come on, that was awesome. And not give Him glory for what He's done. I love the example. I share this with our team all the time. There's a great woman of God, and I forget her name, but she said this. She said, I never reject the honor or the thanks or the praise that people choose to give me. And otherwise that could be false humility. If she preached a sermon or if she prayed for someone and there was a miracle and they had said, thank you, she's not saying, no, don't thank me, thank God. It's like, no, people are saying, thank you. Thank you for having the boldness to pray for me. That's a good thing to be thankful for. You can say, you're welcome. You're allowed to do that. But she says, I make sure I don't go home and take it to myself. She said, the moment I get home, I get on my knees before God. And just like collecting flowers throughout the day, oh, I love this analogy. Just like collecting flowers throughout the day, miracles, thanks, praise, thanksgiving that people have, you know, the words of encouragement that people have given me. Wow, you're so kind. You're so smart. You're awesome. You're so bold. I take all of those things like flowers and add them up like a bouquet and I lay it down at the feet of my King Jesus and I say, Lord, I give this glory to you. Oh, I love that. I love that. There's nothing worse than false humility. Man, that was awesome. That was a great. You really worship-led that song in authority and in power. No, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. It's like, no, if it was Jesus, it would have sounded much better, but it was good what you did. It's not me, man. It's not me, brother. It's the Lord. It's like, no, it was you, because if it was Jesus, it probably would have been a lot better, but you did well. Just receive it. Say thank you, you know. Amen. But to collect things and give them as a bouquet to the Lord. This is part of growing in friendship with God. This is not my notes this morning, but this is on my heart, is to come before the Lord and say, God, all of these things I give to you. David was that type of man. Can you see it? Can you imagine that? He was that type of man, a man after God's own heart. One of the keys to his success was that he wasn't seeking his success. He was seeking God's. He wasn't seeking for his name to be great amongst the nations of the world. He was seeking that Yahweh's name would be great amongst the nations of the world. He wasn't seeking that his kingdom would expand across the world. He was seeking that God's kingdom would expand. Do you know everywhere that the gospel has gone forth and nations have accepted it, like Israel, they accepted in their day what they had was the good news, which was a revelation of Yahweh, the one true God. And then obviously we know Jesus came to fulfill the revelation, right? And he came to die as the ultimate sacrifice so that we wouldn't have to perform sacrifices to get God's attention or to be cleansed of our sin. Jesus said, I'll take that upon myself so that you can have relationship with me. Those who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord will be saved. And everywhere that this gospel message has spread across the world and nations have accepted it, do you notice the healthiest nations around the world are those who have accepted the gospel? You know, the healthiest nations around the world have been those who have accepted the gospel. Do you know the most unhealthy nations around the world are those that are still practicing pagan worship, worshiping idols, sacrificing people to their gods, sacrificing animals still to their gods? The healthiest nations around the world are not those who practice pagan worship, it's those who worship the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that do? It changes his ways, because the Bible says that God says this, my ways are higher than your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. When a family takes on the ways of God, there is something that has shifted and health that has changed in that family. Mitchell and Karina, I know we've had catch-ups and we've talked about this, that when you guys made an agreement to come into relationship with God and start to honor your relationship in God's ways, things started to change for you. There was a blessing upon your marriage, a blessing upon your relationship. Amen? There are definitely people out there that claim to be Christian that aren't healthy. Maybe there's abuse in their relationship. Maybe there's toxicity in their relationship. But for those who don't just claim the Christian call card, but they actually practice the ways of Jesus, there is health and blessing upon those places. David wasn't seeking his own success. He was seeking the success of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, you want to live a successful, prosperous, abundant life? Stop seeking your success and seek the success of the kingdom of God. That is so biblical. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you. Everything you need will be added unto you. I've come to a place in my life where I've decided, and please keep me accountable to this church, but I've come to a place in my life where I've decided it would be great to have a little bit more money. It'd be great to have paid off my mortgage. It'd be great to maybe have a nice car. It'd be great to have all of these things, or maybe have an income stream that is a blessing to me and my family for generations to come. And those things are great, but I will choose to seek first the kingdom of God because I know that he will provide. When we seek him first, he will provide. Amen? Amen. David was a man of praise. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of prayer. And something I see with prayer today is that prayer is not just asking God for stuff. Amen? Prayer is not just asking God for stuff. And David knew this. Prayer is not just asking God for stuff. I believe you would see God move more in your life when you start to see the true meaning and the true reason for prayer as more than just asking God for stuff. The biblical view of prayer is connection and communion with God. David didn't just walk into the temple and go, all right, Lord, I need some more soldiers. God, I need your help with the Canaanites. And Lord, maybe just bless me a little bit more and help me pay off those bills and those debts that I owe. And amen. That's not a man after God's own heart. He would come into the presence of God, I imagine. I don't know for sure, but I'm imagining he'd come into the presence of God and say, God, you are holy. You are greatly to be praised. May your name be magnified amongst the nations of the earth. I pray, God, that not just our kingdom, but the kingdoms of the world will know how good and merciful and great our God is. And Lord, is there something that you want to do in me? Speak to me, God. Search my heart, know every part, and remove any wicked way within me. If there's anything in my life that doesn't please you, Lord, remove it from me, because I want to live as an offering to you. I want you to move and live in and through my life. And God, is there something you want to do in this nation? How can I serve you today? How can I minister to you today? It wasn't all about him. It was about him. Prayer is not just asking God for stuff. That's a small. The asking element of prayer is a very small part of it. It's been said before. I know great preachers have said this, and they've shared, if you had 1 hour to pray, let 50 minutes of it be worshiping God and let 10 minutes be asking in prayer. Because when you come into his presence in worship, you become aware of the goodness and the power and the might and the provision of God, the glory of God. And then when you come into that last 5 to 10 minutes of asking, you ask as if you know it's already done because you know of his goodness. But so often we approach God in prayer and asking with doubts and with concerns and with fear, and we don't actually really believe he's going to move. Growing in friendship with God is actually loving him for who he is and becoming so awestruck and awakened by his goodness that prayer is not a burden. Prayer is not something you have to do or something you ask, but prayer is something you get to enjoy. That we get to come into worship and not try to worship God, but enjoy worshiping God because he is good and he is worthy. Amen. Yesterday I had some time of worship and prayer, and I set aside 35 minutes. And I challenge you, maybe you could do this. This is a good challenge. 30 to 35 minutes is not very long, all right? That can go really quickly. That's washing up the dishes, could be whippersnipping. 35 minutes is not long, like it's not a big chunk of time. But I wanted to test myself in something, so I did it. I set 35 minutes out, 10 minutes, I spent the first 10 minutes worshiping him. Just worshiping him. I put Jesus image worship on and I was singing Yeshua. And I was just loving Jesus, sitting in my prayer chair, worshiping him. And after that 10 minutes had finished, I spent 10 minutes of reading. And I opened the Bible and I started reading. And this is what I found. I found it was so enjoyable and so exciting that I wanted to keep going, but my 10 minutes is almost up. And I'm like, oh man, I need to read more. Like, thank you, Lord, for your word. And I was getting so excited about it. And the 10 minutes was up. And then I spent the next 5 minutes speaking in my heavenly prayer language. I was speaking in tongues the next 5 minutes. And then I spent 5 minutes in declaration, declaring God's goodness over my life and my family and the lives of my friends. Declaring and asking, and not really asking, but it was kind of the same sort of element. I was declaring the goodness of God over my family's life, over my life, my friends. And then the last 5 minutes I spent in silence. And when the time was up, when 35 minutes was up, I checked the clock and it was actually more like 45 minutes. Because I started to enjoy him. When you start with praise, when you start with worship and you practice a habit of that in your life, you'll get caught up enjoying him. Prayer is not supposed to be a burden. It's enjoying connection and communion with God. Amen? Who wants more of that? Who wants more of that in their life? I want more of that in my life. A man after God's own heart. Madame Guyon said, prayer is simply the turning of one's heart to the Lord. Simply the turning of one's heart to the Lord. Bible talks about you can pray all day long. You can pray all day long. It says pray without ceasing, pray without stopping. Keep praying. How do you do that? All throughout the day, you can turn your heart's affection and attention to the Lord. When you're on smoker, you can turn your attention to the awareness of his presence. Smith Wigglesworth said it like this. He said, I may not pray for an hour every day, but there is not an hour that goes past in any day that I do not pray. I may not pray for an hour a day, but there's not an hour that passes that I don't pray. What does that mean? It means every hour of the day. When he's working, when he's studying, when he's reading, when he's preaching, he turns his attention and affection to the Lord. To turn your eyes upon Jesus, the eye of your heart, to turn your affection towards the Lord. Growing in friendship with God looks like turning your affection towards the Lord. I want to end on this today, and I'll invite the worship team up in just a moment, but I really haven't got to the crux of what I wanted to share, but that's okay because I felt to share those things, and I hope some of that blesses you, okay? Are you okay this morning? You with me? Amen. Help me, Jesus. Well, I should read a scripture before I get kicked out of church. This is the scripture I wanted to share with you this morning. It's Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And it's the story that's taking place is that John the Baptist is baptizing people. And then he can see Jesus in the crowd. And he begins to prophesy of the identity of Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, God, the Son, in the flesh, here in our midst. And he begins to prophesy of this. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but there is one coming after me who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and in fire. Somebody say fire. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. What is the purpose of that fire? Fire has many different purposes. It can burn something. It can burn away garbage. I use fire to burn away sticks and leaves in my garden. It burns away garbage. But fire is also a power source. It's also an ignition source. A fire has multi purposes. One, to burn away stuff, but two, to ignite. One, to purify, but two, to empower. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill you so that you can be filled with the fire of God. He wants to burn away the garbage in your life. He wants to burn away the burdens you were carrying that you were never created to carry, the habits and the addictions and the mindsets that have held you back from your potential in God. He wants to burn that away and then fill you with a boldness and a power and a passion for his name. Holy Spirit wants to fill you with that fire. And this is the good news, is that God loves you just the way you are. He loves you warts and all. He loves you warts and all, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. God loves you warts and all. You know, some people say, like, you know, oh, I came into church and they were really loving, but I didn't join their team. And then, you know, I just felt like they didn't love me anymore. And I felt like I didn't fit in. And like, you know, they were judging me for what I was wearing. And it's like, look, God loves you the way you are. He accepts you the way you are. He takes you as you are. But if you truly are walking in friendship with God, something is going to change. Because the more you look to him, the more you become like him. The more you spend time with him, the more you become like him. He loves you just the way you are, warts and all. But he wants to burn some of those warts off. And he wants to fill you with his likeness, with his love and his power. When I talk about the power and love of God, I say it often, like, God wants to fill you with his power and love. He wants you to overflow with his power and love. What I'm saying is the power of God, he wants to fill you with, being the outworking of his Holy Spirit. And the love of God I'm talking about, if you really broke it down, it'd be the fruits of the Spirit. God wants to fill you with his power, but he also wants to fill you with his character. When you grow in friendship with him, it's not just about getting things from God and walking in power and having prayers answered. It's also about growing in his character, learning love and joy and peace and forgiveness and learning how to express his character to the world. And the Holy Spirit will take you on these journeys. And maybe next time I preach, I'd love to share with you some of the journeys that the Holy Spirit takes you on. But in short, I'll say this. Maybe the worship team, you can come and join me on stage. The Holy Spirit will take you on a journey in friendship with him. The first journey is this, the inward journey. Somebody say inward. The inward journey. And that looks like Isaiah 61, where it says that he will bind up the brokenhearted. He will heal the brokenhearted. Anyone here ever felt like your heart's been broken before or let down before? You felt like you're in pieces? Anyone? Three people. Great. He's come, the inward journeys, the Holy Spirit begins to work in you to heal and restore and bind up. He comes to set the captives free. Anyone felt like they've needed freedom before from something? I've needed freedom before. Holy Spirit comes to set the captives free. He comes to do an inward work of healing and purification and restoring our hearts and minds in his ways. He takes the bad stuff out and puts the good stuff in. The Holy Spirit wants to take you on an inward journey of friendship with him. The second journey is a spiritual journey. This is where the Holy Spirit takes you from death to life, where he awakens your spirit and awakens your spiritual senses to know God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit doesn't just come to make bad people good. He comes to make dead people alive. He comes to awaken your spirit. He takes you on a spiritual journey. He'll teach you what it means to minister to his heart and to minister to the hearts of others. He will teach you the ways of his spirit. He'll teach you what he likes and what he doesn't like. He'll teach you where you've been worshiping idols in your life that you didn't even realize. He'll teach you to let go of some things. And he'll add some things in your life. He'll teach you how to hear his voice, the spiritual journey. We're all on this journey with the Holy Spirit. He'll take you on a spiritual journey to hear his voice. He'll teach you how to pray for the sick and see them healed. He'll take you on a journey on how to pray in the anointing and see things change in the atmospheres around you as you begin to pray, not just a broken prayer, but as a prayer of authority under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He'll take you on a spiritual journey and teach you his ways. And the third journey the Holy Spirit wants to take you on is an outward journey. It's the outward journey. It's the expression of the work. He'll heal you so that he can then overflow in healing in your life and in the lives of others around you. There's that saying, hurt people hurt people. But in the kingdom, healed people heal people. The Holy Spirit wants to take you on an outward journey. It's where he empowers you to take the good news of Jesus and his kingdom to the world around you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I'll end on this scripture. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says to the disciples before he ascends into heaven, he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." He says you. He doesn't say only for pastors, only for leaders, only for mature Christians, only for those on worship team. He says, you who receive the Holy Spirit shall receive power when he comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. He wants to take you on an outward journey. He wants to heal you on the inside. He wants to teach you the ways of his Spirit, teach you how to minister to his heart and to others. And then he wants to fill you with power so that you would outwork the kingdom of God on the earth. You would carry his good news, the message of Jesus Christ, across the nations of the world. I want to be growing in friendship with God every day. I don't want it to be a Sunday thing. I don't want it to be a once in a lifetime thing of saying a prayer to salvation and that's it. God wants you to know him and to make him known. He doesn't just want you to get a tick on the box of saying, "I'm going to heaven." He wants to fill you with the reality of heaven so you can express it on the earth. You are called, friends. You are called to a friendship with God. He is inviting you deeper to know him more intimately, to know what he likes and what he doesn't like, to know how he walks, to know how he thinks and feels. He wants you to know him. If you want to know God more this morning, you want to walk in friendship with him, why don't we stand together in this place? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we close our eyes to pray in this place today? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love your presence. We choose to turn our heart's attention to you right now, to turn our awareness to the goodness of God. We love you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you are taking us on a journey. May we be people that walk in friendship with you. Our Lord, we don't just want to walk as slaves, we want to walk as friends. We want to know you and to make you known. We want to know you more intimately. Lord, reveal to us the things you like and you don't like. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit afresh this morning and fill us with that fire. Baptize us in that fire, Lord, and purge out anything that is not of you and give us a boldness and a passion for your kingdom and your name. Holy Spirit, come right now. Do a work in our hearts. You know what we need. We seek you in your presence this morning. With every eye closed in this place, if you're here today and you have never made a conscious decision to turn away from your own selfish desires and your own ways of living and to follow and to seek first Jesus Christ and his kingdom, to make him the Lord of your life, if you have not made a conscious decision to seek him first, I want to give you the opportunity to this morning. With every eye closed, if that's you, Would you raise your hand? Would you pop your hand up so I could see it? We would love to pray for you this morning. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anyone else in this place? Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Anyone else says, you can put it down once you've raised it, that's fine. Anyone else saying, I want to make a decision to turn away from my selfish ways and to seek first the kingdom of God? If that's you, just raise your hand. Awesome, thank you, I see that hand. Wonderful. Let's pray this prayer together this morning and let's pray that prayer of growing in relationship with Him. You can say this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I want to know you more. Forgive me, Lord, for where I have pursued my own selfish desires. And help me to seek first your kingdom and relationship with you. Today I believe that if I seek you first, you will look after my every need. And I do not need to fear, for you are my heavenly Father. God, I repent of my sins today, and I call on your forgiveness. Wash me afresh. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with that fire so that I can burn brightly for you. I want to be your friend, God. Walk with me. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. This morning, yeah, congratulations to everyone who made that decision as well. That's beautiful. If that's the first time you've decided to do that and make that decision to follow after Him, let me encourage you, keep seeking. Never get too old. Never get too familiar with God. He is so wonderful and worthy for you to keep seeking Him and to discover more about Him. And I want to encourage you to do that. And this morning, we're going to worship as we finish off the service today. And I want to invite anyone, if you would like to come forward for prayer, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if there's something stirring inside of you, like, I want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I want a touch from God this morning. Come forward. Let's worship. And pastors and leaders, Pastor Sue and Wayne and Pastor Rob and Denise, we'll be here to lay hands on you, to pray with you. But why don't you come out of your seats and get hungry for God? God is moving. We need to surrender our simplicity to Him, and He will make it supernatural. Amen. God bless you, family. Let's lift our hands. Let's worship Him this morning.